Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, all of our wonderful listeners, you guys challenged us for a better mobile app, and we delivered. We responded with the all-new Yahoo Sports Radio app, available now for your iOS or Android device. Just search Yahoo Sports Radio in Google Play or the App Store and download the new app from Gao Media. You can stream us live on the go or listen to the podcast at your convenience, all from one app. And perhaps you don't have an iOS or Android device, no worries. You can listen on most smart devices by going to streamysr.com. Internet connection is required and normal data rates apply. Of course, we are here in Houston. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, and all of our guests tonight are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. I'm very excited to introduce our next guest, Adam Grossman. He is the president and founder of Block 6 Analytics, analytics-fueled technology that enables companies to maximize on their sports sponsorships. Adam is a leading expert in sports sponsorships and analytics. He is also a lecturer at Northwestern University Masters of Sports Administration program and also the co-author of The Sports Strategist, Developing Leaders for High Performance Industry. It's a long open, but it's worth it. Good evening, Adam.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's definitely a lot to get out. And, you know, obviously taking a long time to get to that point, but it's good that you got everything in the introduction.
Well, we are delighted to have you back with us, and we want to get your take on a number of subjects. But Adam, first, let's highlight the recent article that you wrote on your Cubbies and Wrigley Field, Wrigley Field's role in transforming the Cubs brand into a winner. And obviously, the expectations are high this season. They are delivering. They've got over 20 wins already so far. They are no longer the longtime lovable losers. They have changed, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I started writing this chapter, it was right before it was before last season when they started to change their on-field performance. But one of the things that's interesting about this chapter, and one of the things that drew my interest, is the Cubs have made a very long-term plan and a long-term plan and a commitment to building the team into a winner, despite the fact that they had one of the most interesting positions in the sports industry. We talk about this a little bit in The Sports Strategist, but the Cubs, you mentioned before about the lovable loser brand. The Cubs had spent decades not necessarily cultivating the lovable loser brand, but that was certainly what people identified the team with. And we talk about lovable losers. It essentially means that the team and its fans and the media and sponsors, they would like the Cubs regardless of the team's on-field performance. And what we found actually in doing some of the research is that attendance and television ratings actually did sometimes go up slightly when the team was losing. And it's because the people, when you're talking about fans or media or sponsors or any of the audiences that are involved with the Cubs, you know, they had created an atmosphere where if you've ever been to Wrigley Field, you know, you come, you see the you're greeted by a huge red marquee, an iconic marquee that describes who's playing and who's pitching. You get enter the stadium. You can have the smells of a Chicago-style hot dog, old-style beers flow throughout the stadium. Mm-hmm. The seventh-inning stretch that was started by Harry Carey singing the Take Me Out to the Ball Game and now sung by different celebrities. So the Cubs ensured that you were going to have a great experience no matter what. No matter how the team was performing. And this is something that had been a part of the Cubs' DNA ever since since the 1920s and 1930s. And to evolve into when the current Ricketts family bought the team, and they made a strategic decision to move away from that branding, even though it really is a unique position and a way to make sure that the Cubs could generate revenue on a consistent basis and also make sure that fans kept coming to the stadium. And what you saw over time is that one of the reasons that they chose to make the decision is, one, that they were tired of losing, but also that brand positioning had run its course with its fans. What we talk about in the chapter is, you know, the fans had gotten fed up with the Cubs losing, and the Cubs had, in the 2000s, had experienced success. You know, everybody knows about the Steve Bartman when they almost made the World Series, but even outside of that, in 2008, 2007, and 2000, even up through 2010, they were a competitive team on the field where they were winning division championships. And so the fans' expectations had changed. So the ownership group both wanted the team to be the winner, but also the fans wanted the team to be a winner as well. And the commitment to hiring Theo Epstein and the commitment to working with eventually hiring Joe Maddon and the commitment to the farm system to develop all these players that are now becoming stars that are leading the Major League Baseball right now. They've gone through a very long process that I think fans of various different cities who have tried to attempt the same process have not been as successful. So seeing where they were and seeing where they've come has been really interesting.
The president and founder of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And, you know, I was thinking back to one of our earlier conversations about your book, Sports Strategist. I mean, you pointed out in that book that you can't rely on winning to define your brand. You talked about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can't be – one of the things that comes up when we talk about this is you can't necessarily be defined – and this is interesting in the context of the Cubs. One of the things that we talk about is you can't be defined by winning, but you also don't necessarily want to be defined by losing. You know, the Cubs brand, even with the lovable losers, one of the things that they made a change was is that they didn't want to be defined by their losing. They still want to be lovable, and even their brand position now is the lovable winners. But I think that you want to focus on the emphasis on lovable and not necessarily winning or losing. And the idea being defined as your audiences, you know, whether it's your fans, your media, your sponsors, they're going to have a good experience that benefits and touches on what they find to be important. You know, fans, it could be having a really great experience at the ballpark. For the media, you know, it's really giving, really providing a product that's going to drive ratings and drive engagement by, you know, having compelling content. And for sponsors, it's really helping their brands, helping the sponsors generate revenue and meet their marketing goals. And the idea of teams positioning themselves to be better businesses also makes them more engaging to their core audiences. You know, if you're thinking about Apple, Apple as a business doesn't define itself solely by one product, even though a big portion of its revenue and profits come from the iPhone. It's this whole ecosystem that they've built around. And it's not just the products. It's the products. It's the marketing. It's the people. It's the technology. Having an infrastructure in place that resonates with everybody who's going to be involved with who's going to engage with the Apple brand in some form.
Adam Grossman is a leading expert in sports sponsorships and analytics. He is the president and founder of Block 6 Analytics. We're so delighted to have him with us tonight. And so as we break it down, we've already highlighted talking about the Cubs. I mean, overall, what are the keys to developing an effective brand?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And one of the things that we talk about in the new Cubs chapter is, you know, you want to start with understanding what your what we call our brand identity model. So what our brand identity model looks at is, you know, we have basically three levels of a brand. You start with your core identity, you start with your brand essence. So with the, you know, Disney is a really good example. When you think of Disney, what are the one or two words that really come to mind? And Disney, that would probably be magic, right? When you think of Disney, everything around Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, it's built off this idea of everything is magic. Everything is, you know, fantastical to a certain degree. And then you can build around your core identity. And what are the essential elements that you want your different audiences to understand? And to be clear, audiences oftentimes when you're talking about businesses, usually people think, oh, what are my customers going to think? But you can't think of it just in terms of your customers. They're a very important audience, but they're certainly not the only audience. When you're talking about businesses, whether it's Disney or Apple or otherwise, you know, you're thinking about your employees, you're thinking about the media, you're thinking about shareholders, you're thinking about all these different people who are engaging with your brand at any different time, and having a consistent brand message that resonates so people know, okay, when I think of, you know, when I think of Apple, I think of either probably innovation or creativity. And what's the core identity? Well, the core identity is they've created, you know, they use a simplicity in design, simplicity of designing their products, not just in terms of, you know, here are products that are easy to use, but here are products that anybody can understand. And from that, so we start, you know, we have a brand essence, we have our core identity, and then we talk about our brand as extensions. And those can be brand as product, brand as symbol, brand as person. And if you talk about those in the context, or brand as place is another good example. If we talk about it in the context of the Cubs, you know, one of the things that with the level losers brand is that the brand as people tended to be more around celebrities who were associated with the Cubs rather than the players of the Cubs. You know, when you think of the New York Yankees, you probably think of, you know, Ruth, Mantle, DiMaggio, even Derek Jeter, as like these are the players that define the brand. The Cubs definitely have Hall of Fame players and players who are iconic players. Ernie Banks being Mr. Cub, probably being the most famous example.
Right.
But they're probably more famous people are, you know, Harry Carey or Will Ferrell or Bill Murray or even, you know, Secretary of State Clinton. You know, these are these people who have identified with as Cubs fans or Cubs announcers. And what has changed is that the Cubs as person has changed. So, you know, the executives, you know, Theo Epstein is obviously somebody who's very well known in the industry. Hiring Joe Maddon is somebody who's very well known. Developing players like Chris Bryant or, you know, Kyle Schwarber before he got injured, or even Jake Arrieta or Jonathan Lester. You know, the people who actually perform on the field have become the most visible symbols of the brand.
The president and founder of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined with Adam. Much more to get into right after this quick timeout.